homosexuality is not part of God's plan for anybody's life. Who can explain the obsession that Barack Obama and his administration have for this issue?
It was quite challenging before Stonewall.
When I was in the military, if you were thought to be gay, you could end up beaten up before you were thrown out.
When I was young, they knew I was gay, but you don't talk about it.
It's a film that is about aging, and it's a look at community.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Uganda's unending nightmare worsens, Peter and the Pastor pander to gay sex paranoia, and an award-winning film celebrates gay seniors' gusto. All that and more this week, because you've discovered This Way Out.
Michelle Marie Gilkison.
And I'm Wendell Jones.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBT communities around the world for the week ending July 12, 2014. There have been virtually weekly reports about the deteriorating situation for sexual minorities in Uganda. Several Western governments began withdrawing non-humanitarian aid after President Yoweri Museveni signed the East African nation's draconian anti-homosexuality law in February. It punishes aggravated homosexuality with up to life in prison, makes public advocacy for LGBT rights a crime, and requires citizens to report suspected homosexuals to the police. Museveni called being forced to defend LGBT rights in exchange for financial aid a sinful requirement. He blamed the lost revenue for having to raise taxes and cut sales tax exemptions for food and even for water. New taxes are also reportedly being proposed on fuel, sugar, and mobile money transactions. Equality activists say they fear being targeted for more violence by Ugandans who blame them for the tax increases in an impoverished country with an already hostile and threatening environment for LGBT people. The advocacy group Sexual Minorities Uganda reports a tenfold increase in homophobic violence since the anti-homosexuality law passed in Parliament 7 months ago, including evictions, assaults, kidnappings, extortion, mob violence, and even murders.
A statement from the Ugandan government this week denied that the law was meant to punish lesbians and gay men, claiming that it was enacted only to curb the open promotion of homosexuality, especially among children and other vulnerable groups. The statement insisted that no activities of individuals, groups, companies, or organizations have been affected by the law. But soon after it took effect, police raided an Ugandan university's HIV education clinic, which was partially funded by the U.S. Defense Department, and arrested several workers. The government also suspended some of the programs of a nonprofit refugee group pending investigation. In both cases, the complaints claimed that the workers were teaching people how to be gay.
And Uganda's Daily Monitor reported the arrest just this week of five Ugandans for promoting homosexuality to minors. The newspaper said the detainees consist of a teacher, two businessmen, and two students. All of them, including the 16 and 18-year-old students, were reportedly subjected to anal probes to prove that they'd engaged in homosexual acts. Several human rights groups have labeled the scientifically debunked procedure torture. It's also unclear why the detainees were forced to undergo anal probes if they weren't being charged with having committed homosexual acts. The Daily Monitor reported few details about the vague charges of promoting homosexuality and didn't say if or when the five would appear in court.
Neo-Nazi skinheads bent on violence attempted to enter a gay night spot this week in the Ukrainian capital of Kiev, soon after Mayor Vitaly Klitschko canceled a planned pride parade because he said he couldn't guarantee the safety of its participants. Violence has marred recent attempts to celebrate pride in the country's largest city. A group of about 20 neo-Nazis tried to force their way into the Pomada Club on the evening of July 7th. Security camera footage outside the bar obtained by the UK Pink News website appears to show the club's bouncer single-handedly pushing the thugs out of the narrow entrance and back onto the sidewalk, where they quickly dispersed. According to the Ministry of Internal Affairs, the attackers did manage to throw a smoke bomb and a few firecrackers into the club.
In other news, another U.S. state ban on civil marriage for lesbian and gay couples was struck down this week, this time in Colorado. Adams County District Court Judge C. Scott Crabtree echoed similar rulings around the country, writing that denying civil marriage to same-gender couples violates due process and equal protection guarantees under the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. During arguments last month, lawyers from Republican Attorney General John Souther's office argued that the ban protects the nature of marriage and furthers procreation, and that the dozens of state and federal judges that have struck down similar bans elsewhere were wrong. "They all got it wrong?" Crabtree sarcastically asked. But the judge included a stay with his ruling pending probable appeal, so it didn't prompt any rushes to the altar.
But Colorado's Attorney General Southers has also been embroiled in a legal battle with Boulder County Clerk Hillary Hall. She's handed out more than 100 marriage licenses to same-gender couples in Boulder since the three-judge panel of the 10th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals on June 25th overturned Utah's civil marriage ban, becoming the first federal appeals court to strike down a state ban. Because that court also has jurisdiction over Colorado and five other states, and even though the 10th Circuit ruling was immediately stayed pending appeal, Hall contends that it's binding on Colorado marriage law as well. Southers filed a lawsuit in an effort to stop Hall from issuing more licenses, but Boulder County Judge Andrew Hartman ruled late this week that Hall can continue issuing them because her actions aren't harming anyone and can be seen as civil disobedience. He did warn those couples who marry that their unions could be declared invalid if a higher court finds that Hall did not have the authority to issue the licenses. And county clerks in Denver and Pueblo joined the uprising late this week by starting to issue marriage licenses to same-gender couples in their jurisdictions. Clerks in other Colorado counties are trying to figure out what to do next. Democratic Governor John Hickenlooper has asked Southers not to appeal the pro-equality rulings, but that's unlikely.
Meanwhile, officials in Utah have decided to bypass a motion to the 10th Circuit asking the full court to reconsider the three-judge panel's ruling striking down the state's civil marriage ban, and will appeal instead directly to the U.S. Supreme Court. Attorneys representing Republican Governor Gary Herbert and Attorney General Sean Reyes announced that the appeal will be filed in the coming weeks, although no timetable was set. The move might hasten the final outcome for more than 1,000 same-gender couples who married in Utah during a brief period in late December and early January when the original district court ruling allowed them. Those marriages, like the unions of couples who wed under similar circumstances in a few other states, remain in legal limbo pending a final resolution of the issue. A federal court in May ordered Utah to recognize the marriages in that state as legally valid, but Utah had asked for a suspension of the lower court's order while the appeals process continued. The American Civil Liberties Union reported late this week that the 10th Circuit rejected Utah's arguments and said there was no valid reason not to recognize those marriages. The court did give the state 10 days to ask the U.S. Supreme Court to issue a stay. It's important to note that the High Court is under no obligation to hear any appeal, and there's no predetermined timeline for when the Supreme Court might announce whether or not it will hear any of the Utah cases.
Indiana's Republican Governor Mike Pence ordered state agencies not to recognize the marriages of more than 50 same-gender couples who wed under similar circumstances in the Hoosier state. And Wisconsin's Republican Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen formally filed an appeal late this week of a June ruling by District Judge Barbara Crabb that overturned the Badger State civil marriage ban, though Judge Crabb immediately stayed her ruling, so no lesbian and gay couples have legally married in that state.
Elsewhere, Irish Prime Minister Enda Kenny announced last week that the national referendum on marriage equality would be held within the first 4 months of 2015. The confirmation of the government's previously announced plan comes on the heels of a record crowd at the Dublin LGBT Pride Parade in late June. A poll conducted in April found increasing support for marriage equality in heavily Roman Catholic Ireland, despite the church's vocal opposition. 67% said they planned to vote yes in the referendum. But Irish referenda have a history of unpredictable outcomes because of fluctuating turnout and powerful religious lobbying groups. As is the case in several other Western countries, support for marriage equality in Ireland is especially high among women and younger people.
And finally, a gay man from Senegal was granted a French visa following a landmark court ruling this week that allowed him to marry his partner. The man was living in Morocco and had taken steps last year to marry his partner there soon after France enacted civil marriage equality. But that law bans same-gender couples from marrying in French embassies or consulates in countries like predominantly Muslim Morocco that don't sanction such unions. and the man was denied entry to France after the consulate in Casablanca said he'd previously been ordered to leave France because his immigration papers were not in order. Consular staff also said they had doubts that his relationship with his much older French partner was genuine. The Council of State, France's top administrative court, ruled on July 8th that the decision amounted to a serious and manifestly illegal breach of the fundamental right to marry. Noting that the couple has jointly owned property in Casablanca for years, the court questioned why there would be any reason to suspect that their relationship was not legitimate. The Interior Ministry was ordered to issue a visa to the man immediately to allow the couple to marry at the end of the week. The unnamed newlyweds will also receive compensation of 5,000 euros.
That's News Wrap for the week ending July 12, 2014. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap was written by Greg Gordon, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and produced by Steve Pride.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Wenzel Jones.
And I'm Michelle Marie Gilkison.
You were out before Stonewall, and before you know it, you're in a documentary film about being old and gay. Later in the program.
Up behind the bus stop in the toilets of the street, there are traces of a killing on the floor beneath your feet. Mixed in with the piss and beer are bloodstains on the floor from the boy who got his head kicked in a night or two before. Homophobia, the worst disease. You can't love who you want to love in times like these. Homophobia, the worst disease. You can't love who you want to love in times like these.
Most mainline Christian denominations are moving up the stairway to heaven hand in hand with their LGBT adherents and allies. But holier-than-thou homophobes still hijack the headlines. Peter LaBarbera started making anti-homosexuality campaigning his stock and trade with other conservative organizations long before his own Americans for Truth About Homosexuality became a full-time operation in 2006. Last year, it made the U.S. Southern Poverty Law Center's list of hate groups, and LaBarbera was arrested in Canada for distributing graphic anti-homosexual materials. When we last encountered Harlem, New York pastor James David Manning, his church was being picketed for its signs calling for LGBT people to be stoned to death. Manning hosted LaBarbera on his radio show recently to talk about obsession, pandering, and fear, albeit not their own.
When someone comes out and says, I'm on a national basketball or football team and I am gay, you get a call from the White House. It's like a Medal of Honor. I mean, how do you interpret that?
It's so perverse, it's spiritual, that the President of the United States, what he chooses to honor. Do you realize that our country has now flown the rainbow flag at embassies across the world? And my only surprise is it didn't fly below the American, they didn't fly it above the American flag, it flew it below. But flying the rainbow flag, which is the symbol the homosexuals have sort of, they stole the rainbow and they use it to promote homosexuality. He's pandering to such a degree. It's like there's a spiritual force behind this, because who can explain the obsession that Barack Obama and his administration have for this issue?
We have in this nation at present a set of circumstances that if we don't turn this matter around, I can't imagine our nation going forward with this being our heritage, where we're now a third gender, if you must, where people can get married and just live their lives as they choose.
Yeah, and you know, I heard your one of your tapes, and it made me think. And nobody ever talks about this. You talked about how homosexuality is robbing the husbands, the potential husbands of women in the black community.
Right.
And I thought, you know, that's interesting, because actually that's applicable to all women in America. You know,
that's true.
I think homosexuality, in one sense, offers to men, if I could say this on your program, it offers the cheap orgasm. Yeah. It's a lot harder to be a man, a real man, and have a family, have a court a woman, marry a woman,
right,
have
right,
children, raise
right,
a family.
Right, right.
The reason marriage, gay, so-called homosexual, so-called marriage is so evil is it's not only taking an abomination, but it's taking an abomination and it's attaching it to something that's so good. And it's combining the two.
Yes.
And so I think we have to tell our kids, look, if you, when you go to college or high school someday and somebody comes up to you and says, I'm gay, say, well, are you really? Is that your, because I don't think God wants homosexuality, is not part of God's plan for anybody's life. And so we have to start inoculating kids, tell them it's unhealthy behavior, some of the facts we have now that are incredible coming from our own government health agency, and basically say you are going to encounter people who believe that this sin of homosexual behavior is part of their core identity, and we have to equip our children to answer them at that key time when they're going to be running into these individuals.
That radio conversation between Peter LaBarbera of Americans for Truth About Homosexuality and Pastor James David Manning of Harlem's All the Land Anointed Holy Church was first reported by Right Wing Watch, an arm of People for the American Way.
Hi, I'm Daryl Stevens, Noah in the Noah's Ark movie and TV series, and you've discovered This Way Out, the international radio show for all our sexually diverse communities and those who love them.
Old friends sat on a park bench like bookends, the newspaper blown through the grass falls on the round toes of the high shoes of the old friends. Can you imagine us years from today sharing a park bench quietly? How terribly strange to be 70.
Is gay senior an oxymoron? Not according to an award-winning film called Before You Know It. This Way Out Entertainment correspondent Steve Pride chats with documentarian P.J. Raval and his three featured subjects.
On the subject of aging, George Carlin once said, "We become 21, turn 30, push 40, reach 50, and make it to 60. Well, the subjects of P.J. Raval's documentary, Before You Know It, Dennis, Ty, and Robert, are well past that milestone and live life to its fullest each and every day.
Hi, my name is P.J. Raval, and I'm the director of the feature documentary, Before You Know It, a portrait of three gay senior men. It's a film that is about aging, and it's a look at community. And how, in my opinion, that aging is a community effort.
My name is Ty Martin, and I'm 65 years old. I live in Harlem, New York. I work at SAGE, which is Services and Advocacy for Gay Elders.
When did you know you were gay?
Early 20s, right after my dad died. I had a sense of, okay, I can finally be who I want to be now. That was back in 1965. So I was like 20 years old. I'd just gotten out of the Navy, which I definitely couldn't be gay there. And it was quite challenging before Stonewall. I can remember as a younger person going to house parties in Harlem with the fear that the police could come in and just simply raid the place. We couldn't just be ourselves. It was not something that you flaunted. I can remember being afraid to cross my legs, you know, and now it's something I don't think about doing. Up in Harlem, we had stand-up bars like the Big Apple and Andre's, so we would gather at after 8 o'clock and have cocktails, and that would go on until the bars closed at 4, and then we'd go to work, and it was that same after-hour meeting spots. And it was all over the city back then. Times Square was a great place to meet. And there was not a lot of concerns about what was going on. on that level, particularly like what was happening in the village. We were being harassed, but it wasn't like, oh, I can't take it kind of stuff. You kind of adjusted to, well, this is what life is, being gay back in the 60s. So I didn't really notice a change until we stopped having the stand-up bars and we started going to clubs.
My name is Dennis Creamer. I live in Gresham outside of Portland, and I'm 80 years old. I reside at Rainbow Vista in Gresham. It's a gay retirement home. Right now we have about 13 people. We have one couple, one lady, and the rest are all single guys. There's one person older than myself, but most are what I call young people, which is anybody under 70.
Well, you were married for a number of years.
I was married about 30 years. My wife passed away.
Did you know you were gay early on, or is this something that happened after your wife passed?
I might have had the inclination all along. I never acted on it, though, until she was gone. Then I happened to go on a Toto Tours group to Hawaii. And it was just myself and one older guy, and the rest were young guys, you know. So they tended to gravitate together, and by default, I ended up with the older guy. And he was a lawyer from New York. And we ended up traveling together after that on many occasions. He just got so bossy, though, that I couldn't put up with it anymore.
One of the things you say in the film that really hit me hard, you said that you had a very ordinary life, that you didn't really impact anybody or anything, but that's no longer true. This film is out and it's going to impact a lot of people. Do you believe that?
I don't know. I had goals for myself, and I never accomplished those goals. So I feel in a sense that my life was sort of wasted.
When you look around and see the accomplishments of the last, say, 10 years in the LGBT community with Don't Ask, Don't Tell dropping away, now you can, like, marry your sailor boyfriend on base. What do you feel about all that?
It's almost inconceivable to me. It's so far out that if someone had told me this 20 years ago, I'd say they were out of their minds. When I was in the military, for instance, if you were thought to be gay, you could end up beaten up before you were thrown out. And now to see it accepted, it's amazing to me.
Are you glad you did the film?
Yes, I am. And I appreciate the opportunity to be in it. It's something that I feel will live on after my demise. But seeing myself on the film, I said, gosh, am I really like that? Is this the way I look and act? And it was a surprise to me because my self-image is that of a much younger person. And I see this guy that, gosh, he must be 80. And that isn't my self-image. Every time I look in the mirror, I said, there's been some terrible mistake. That can't be me. Because I don't feel old. I really don't feel old.
My name is Robert. I live in Galveston, Texas. And I'm 75. They call me Robert the Mouth because I've always got an opinion about something. I believe in everything being positive. If you're positive, every time you get up in the morning, then you go out and I terrorize everybody.
Tell me about running a gay bar in Galveston, Texas.
Well, I've had the bar since 1969. I lived in Hollywood for a while, and we had a bar here, me and Bernard. And
what was that?
That was the Fireside. It was over on La Cienega and Venice Boulevard. And after we sold it, my father had cancer, so Bernard had lost all of his family. And so he insisted that I move back close to your family because once they're gone, they're gone. My father and my mother all have passed away. When I was young, they knew I was gay, but you don't talk about it. So you go and do your own thing. But you be very quiet about it and don't mention it and you don't bring it up. They don't want to hear it. And when we were young, we had to fight everybody. They always wanted to beat up the queers. So you had to stand up for yourself. If you didn't, you were going to go down the drain.
Are you happy?
I think most of us, we get lonely after we get a little older. But we have our sad moments. You sit there and then think about your lovers and all your friends that already passed away. And I'm still here. So I got to keep going. And every day is a new day. Before you know it, you're already there. You're older. And
before you know it.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of audiences are watching the film and suddenly realizing how much they have in common with Dennis, Ty, and Robert.
Filmmaker P.J. Raval.
Because aging happens to everyone. The aging process doesn't discriminate. Everyone gets older. And I think society in general likes to desexualize seniors across the board, right? People, when they hit a certain age, are not supposed to have some kind of sexual identity anymore. And I think when you say you're a gay senior, you're defining yourself by your sexual identity. So I think the two terms are almost at odds with each other. It's a really interesting tension there because the general public doesn't assume any sexual identity for seniors. And I keep thinking about, well, I'm very aware of my sexual identity. I'm very aware of how that's part of my identity. So I can't imagine that going away ever, even when I'm 80. That's part of the reason why I wanted to look at it. But then when I did start doing research, I started uncovering that gay seniors are twice as likely to live alone, for instance, four times less likely to access social services. And I think they are the most extreme examples of ageism, discrimination that happens. Society in general is youth obsessed, and there's definitely a power to youth. And I think the gay male community, it's even more so, because there's so much value placed, not only in terms of youth, but physical beauty and just your physical being. I think a lot of that is what I was interested in looking at.
This has been a conversation with filmmaker P.J. Raval, as well as Dennis, Ty, and Robert from his documentary, Before You Know It. Find more information about the film online at beforeyouknowitfilm.com. I'm Steve Pride. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. This week, Michelle Marie Gilkison, Wenzel Jones, and Steve Pride contributed program material. Chumbawamba and Simon and Garfunkel performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, and our generous listeners for making this program possible. You can find out more about what we do, read news wrap transcripts, and connect with us on Facebook, Blogger, and Google+ by logging on to thiswayout.org. Remember, you can also tune into This Way Out on iTunes and Stitcher. Follow TWO Radio on Twitter, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappelle and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on WBCR Great Barrington, Massachusetts, KUNR Reno, Nevada, 4BI Fortitude Valley, Queensland, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned!